You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts.
Hour number two on the Roto Experts. We're off and running. How do you guys feel the first hour went? I felt it went swimmingly with this new combination.
I thought it went very well, too, Mike. I want to say something right quick, though. You know, full disclosure. Okay. I wish there was somebody out there that loved me the way that girl in the DKMS commercial loved Kevin. I really wish I had that kind of
experience. It's true. Yeah, I also...
What are you talking
despite
about?
Despite the fact that I've been
like
married
that.
For you. Well, that's nice. That's nice.
Yeah, that's nice.
We can feel the love here on this Saturday morning. Yeah. Yeah. I've been married for 6 years. I don't know. That's my wife loves me the way that the girl loves Kevin on that commercial. Kevin's got the goods, though. Apparently,
he really
I don't.
Does.
So,
mm-hmm.
We actually have some
breaks. Corey just wants like that other commercial to be like he collects stuffed exotic birds. Are you talking about Corey? Oh, he's
yes, that would. Mm-hmm.
So some breaking news here on the NFL front. The Texans have hired GM Brian Gain, which I believe was rumored to have happened at some point here in the last 24 hours, but. They took a big step toward creating long-term continuity on Saturday, per the NFL. Insider Ian Rappaport reported that the team signed Coach Bill O'Brien to a 4-year extension and hired General Manager Brian Gain to a 5-year contract. So, similar to how the Niners kind of lined everything up long-term with both Shanahan and Lynch getting 6-year deals, the Texans now have Bill O'Brien in the driver's seat for a long time working with this guy. Rick Smith had to step aside due to family health issues, his wife suffering from breast cancer, which obviously our prayers and thoughts go to him. But he won't be coming back into that role even when he comes back to the Texans. So, Corey, I'll throw it to you first. An interesting situation here. Bill O'Brien seemed to be unhappy, but he's going to be here long-term with Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, he can thank Deshaun Watson for this contract because this guy would have been out of there this year if he would have messed this one up. So they draft the quarterback. Listen, Bill O'Brien, I think, you know, you see that he started Tom Savage. Obviously, to make the quick hook, and you see what Watson became. Tore the ACL, likely the reason why they're not playing in one of these playoff games this weekend. But Bill O'Brien definitely needs to thank Deshaun Watson for this contract extension because he was on the hot seat.
Scott?
Yeah, I probably have to agree with everything Corey said. There's really nothing I can add to that, to be honest with you.
Yes, right. So, fantasy executive, Scott.
There you go.
Corey, I raised you well.
Yeah, all right, whatever.
Corey throwing it down in the first minute. Scott's got nothing. So, in any event, we're going to break down. We'll do Falcons-Eagles next, talk a little bit more about that. We'll transition over to Steelers-Jaguars, Saints-Vikings. We'll be talking about all those games in the next hour. If we get to Titans-Pats, so be it. But we can save it for the final hour because we have Greg Arias from Pro Football Spot coming on at 11:10. So there you go. We got 1 hour down, 2 hours to go. This is the start of hour number two on the Roto Experts Saturday edition. We'll be back after the break.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
Back on the Roto Experts.
Mike, this song is from Scott Prime.
when he had at least four, I had a prime.
It's not bad. I like that.
Not bad at all.
I like that. It's a nice comeback.
Another thing I can teach Corey is how to dance.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know about that. I would like to say I'd pay money to see that, but I really wouldn't want to pay money to see that. So
no, it's not going to be pretty.
Yeah. So we'll get to the Eagles Falcons in a minute. I want to get your predictions on that game, but a couple of other coaching moves that we just kind of blew past in that first hour, but impact a couple of teams in a big way. First, Scott, your Seahawks, Darrell Bevell out after 7 years as the offensive coordinator. Did you see that coming? Surprises, and what do you expect to happen moving forward?
Yeah, a lot of people made like it was a shock, but, you know, Seahawk fans actually for a long time have been waiting for this. I'm not saying I necessarily was. I think Bevell's regime could actually be spelled out in the two Super Bowls. It's, you know, the Seahawks dominated Super Bowl 48. A lot of that was defense, but they got there, too, because of what Bevell did offensively. But then they lost the following year, you know, on that play call. That's been Bevell. It's been ups and downs throughout the years. There's been some high highs and some low lows. And, you know, but this team wants to establish a type of offensive balance that they had in those years that they were going to the Super Bowl, and they feel that they can no longer do it with Darrell Bevell and Tom Cable, and the play calling was very, very inconsistent this year. It wasn't just the lack of a running game. When you watch that team from week to week, they were really in the red zone. They sputtered often. You know, there was also some questionable play calls, like, you know, why not go for it and put the hammer down on certain downs instead of letting Blair Walsh do what he does?
So I would say one thing in general about it, and certainly people may not know the team as well as us, and certainly not you, but I think what is shocking to people that are perhaps slightly more casual than us but big fans is that Darrell Bevell's name had come up for head coaching positions in the past. They obviously had won with him as an offensive coordinator. He was a hot head coaching candidate at some point, never got a gig, and here he finds himself out. I think that's probably what shocks people, that it seems to be a precipitous fall, although, as you stated, a lot of ups and downs throughout the years. The offense this year, they were 11th in points scored, middle of the road, in yards, kind of a high turnover percentage, and average drive time was 30th in the league. Average number of plays per drive, 30th in the league. So I think it points to an inconsistency, to your point, Scott,
yes,
of being able to move the ball down the field and instead waiting for Russell Wilson to make something happen.
Yeah, you know, you saw it a lot when you watch this team. You know, they would sputter a lot in the first half, et cetera. And to put everything on Russell Wilson the way they did is great for fantasy, but it's not the way an NFL team wants to operate. Ideally, you know, you hear people say, oh, that quarterback, he couldn't carry a team by himself. If you want to be a Super Bowl team, you don't want the quarterback carrying the team by himself. You want him to be a piece of something else with a strong running game and a strong defense. And look, this has been Pete Carroll since he became the Seahawks, not just coach, but vice president. John Snyder is his advisor, for those people who don't know. In the first year that he was with the Seahawks, he made a record number of player moves. If something's not working, he's going to clean it immediately.
Yeah. Yeah, I also think this could be a situation where he's letting his guys know, listen, go out and get jobs now because I'm out of here after next year anyway. So I don't know. This is a little bit awkward to me, just letting them go like this. This has been a strong unit for several years now. Obviously, they got to do something with that running game. It's been a disaster for the past couple years, and that's on them. They brought Eddie Lacy in there. We knew Eddie Lacy was damaged goods.
Yeah, I don't agree with the line of thinking, though, that he's somehow going to run out of there. You know, you're basing that on the past, what he did in college and stuff like that. I don't see any indication that he's going to leave. And if this guy is cleaning house, he's certainly not going to do it because he's going to leave.
So, Corey, I'll go over to the other situation I wanted to discuss, and that is Norv Turner coming into Carolina as their offensive coordinator after Mike Shula was summoned out along with a couple of other coaches. So Norv Turner comes in, and now he's going to be the guy to work with Cam Newton. What I find interesting about it is that Norv Turner does typically work with drop-back quarterbacks, which you can't call Cam Newton a pure one of. He's certainly not a pure drop-back passer. Last time Norv Turner was in a job, he left midseason because he didn't like the way things were going. Not everybody was on the same page. I would be concerned about this being an issue. Norv Turner's a great offensive coordinator. You and I talked about it off air yesterday, but is this the right fit for him to be working with Cam Newton?
No, this is not a good fit right here. And I think Norv Turner is a brilliant offensive mind. I still think he has it, you know, regardless of that last situation in Minnesota. But this is a situation where Ron Rivera is like, he has too much power in Carolina now. Like, there is no owner, there's no GM. It's just Ron Rivera sitting in the big office. You know what I'm saying? Like, let me see what I can do. Oh, you know what? Where's my boy Norv Turner at? Let's hire him and all his guys. We're going to fix Cam Newton. Cam Newton is still going to be Cam Newton. He's going to do it his way because that's been the formula that has won for Carolina these past couple years. So anybody, the latest person to try to come in and change Cam Newton is not going to get it done.
And Cam Turner, his grandson, is the assistant quarterbacks coach there. So a family affair down in Carolina, right, Scott?
Yeah, and, you know, with this Norv Turner thing, it's, you know, it's reputation more than anything. Let's not forget, this guy quit the last time we saw him, 7 games into the season, yep. And this team was, like, at the bottom of a lot of the offensive rankings. I just, you know, you might as well hire Dom Capers while you're at it.
Scott, you don't think Norv Turner can do it no more? I think Norv still got it.
What was the last time he did it? 3 years with the Vikings and 2 with the Browns. Neither was impressive.
What was he in San Diego?
It's been a while, Corey.
Yeah.
It has been a while. I do find it to be a curious hire. I don't see it. Yeah. I just don't see Norv Turner and Cam Newton necessarily being on the same page. But, you know, Cam is very vocal about him not wanting to change his game. I think it would behoove him to stay in the pocket more. His career might last a little bit longer, but at the same time, this is not who he is. He's an inaccurate passer, and he uses other plays and other assets in order to make plays down the field. It's still a good team.
It works for them, though.
It does work for them, but can they win a Super Bowl with it? I mean, they got real close.
They were at the doorstep. Yeah, they were at the doorstep.
They got really close.
Ron Rivera has too much power in this organization right now. Somebody needs to come in there and check Ron Rivera. That's what needs to be done.
Well, this whole thing's going to get turned over, is going to get turned upside down potentially in the next 4 months because there's going to be a new owner in there, and he may not like anybody that's in the building. So we'll see how that new owner adapts and comes into what is a pretty decent functioning football team, football organization. They win a lot of games, et cetera, over the last several years. So that will be interesting. So let's go back to Eagles Falcons because I want to get your predictions on it. And Scott, I'll go to you first. What say you for this Eagles Falcons matchup? As I said earlier, the Falcons are a 3-point favorite. The Eagles are the first team to be a number one seed and be an underdog at home in that first game. What say you? What is your prediction for this game?
I think the Eagles survive based on their defense here. Final score, Eagles 20, Falcons 17.
Eagles 20-17. Corey, what do you got?
Yeah, I like it complete opposite of this one. I'm going to go with Atlanta. I think Atlanta's been playing very good down in the second half of the season. I think they keep it rolling. This is an opportunity to take advantage of with Nick Foles there. I think they beat him up pretty good. I'm going to go 23-13.
That's 13 points more than I thought you'd give him.
23. Yeah,
the defense
I'm trying to write all this down.
The defense is going to touchdown.
And I'm going to go Falcons. Corey stole my score. Falcons 24. I want to mix it up here. It's all right. I'll say Eagles 17. I'll take the Falcons by a touchdown right there. I'm right on the number, though. I'd like to pick the under, so I guess I got to go 23-17. I'll take the under on that because the over-under is 41. I'm playing fire saying that, but I actually do think it'll be a little bit lower scoring. I could see even me knocking off a field goal on both of those scores, like a 20-14 kind of a deal. You got to avoid these killer turnovers on both sides of it. But if it was a zero-sum turnover differential, you know, one turnover each, I'm going to take the Falcons here. I am impressed with the Eagles' ability to stop the run, but as you say very often, Scott, you can't, I've heard you say this before, you can't just assume that the defense is going to win the matchup or that the offense is going to win the matchup. And in this instance, I do see the Falcons being able to get something done on the ground despite the Eagles' positive statistics defensively in that regard.
Yeah, I think, you know, Eagles being at home, too, I think gives them some sort of advantage, too, there.
All right. So, Scott's for the Eagles. Corey and I have the Falcons. Corey was never going to pick the Eagles. It just wasn't going to happen. It doesn't matter what he thought. He can't.
They must leave.
You can't physically pick them. So, we'll come back. We'll talk. Jag Steelers after this. Come on, Antonio. Let's get healthy.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the program in there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
Producer Pete Consadori is mixing it up, Corey.
I see that. Oh, yeah. Scott in the house dancing this morning.
Yeah, I think Pete's got a part-time job as a DJ. I can see it.
Like when George is on, he plays like Fog Hat and Led Zeppelin and that kind of stuff.
Hey, he knows the host. Music. You know what I'm saying? He knows the host, what music they like. I could see him being a DJ, but the only problem is the Rangers usually play when the clubs are open, so
he probably can't do it. He's a New York Rangers fanatic.
Whatever kind of music you play for George Kurtz, I'm sure George did not like it. I hate this song.
Salty.
Yeah. I hate this song. I love Fog Hat, but that's the one song I can't stand.
Permanently salty. So,
my man.
But shout out to George. He'll be hosting Fantasy Black Book every Sunday from 9 to 12 with Joe Pisapia. So he moved over there. He also does some shows during the week too. But I don't know what those are. Bottom line, listen to him tomorrow from 9 to 12. And if you want to hit us up today, go to our Twitter feed at FNTSY Radio. We got 5 polls up there about resting players and about the outcomes of all the 4 games for this weekend. So that's at FNTSY Radio. I'm at Mike Blewett. Scott is at Scott E. Roto X. That's EX at the end. And Corey Parson is at the Fantasy Exec, EXEC at the end. And give us a call if you want today, 844-843-6879. Need to give a shout out to my friend Robin in Tampa. She's at her son's soccer game. She's listening on the headphones as she's watching the soccer game. So she's
red card.
She's addicted to the show. And and we appreciate her listening. So Jag Steelers. Here it is, boys. Yeah, she is a soccer mom. She is very much so.
I've
known her for many years. So,
nice.
Jag Steelers, injuries. Stop we it. Talked about Antonio Brown dealing with an illness. He's got the calf setback, but it doesn't appear to be all that serious. Roethlisberger has thrown 2+ touchdowns in 7 straight games. I think righted the ship from some early bumps. One of the early bumps was against this very team, the Jaguars. He threw 2 pick sixes. He threw 5 interceptions in the game. They lost 30-9. Fournette ran for over 170 yards, I believe it was, and it was many months ago. That's the good news for the Steelers. This wasn't like it happened last week. So here we are. I'm going to ask you this question first, and then you can give me a breakdown. Corey, do you know which, or I'll ask you both, you can both guess. Which team had more sacks this season, Jacksonville or Pittsburgh?
Pittsburgh.
Scott?
Why do they call him Saxonville? Not because Andy Saxon is a fan, you know.
That's a good question. So you're
gonna pick, why are we doing
you're pick, so you're going Jags?
I'm going
so
Jags.
So you'd say the Jags? It is the Steelers. The Jaguars were second in the NFL in sacks with 55. The Steelers beat them by 156 sacks. So that doesn't spell good things for Blake Bortles in this game. Obviously, we saw, everybody saw last week, he looked like he had a case of the yips, and he just wasn't following through on throws. He looks like he was hesitant to throw it. So, Corey, I'm going to throw it to you first. Give me your breakdown. Who do you think could be a fantasy star in this game, and how do you see it turning out?
A fantasy star, it would have to be Le'Veon Bell. Pretty easy to say it that way right there. But listen, Jacksonville comes in here, really no pressure on them. They got the victory they were supposed to get last week. Now they come to up to Heinz Field, tough environment to play in, limited on offense. I think Leonard Fournette is banged up, so he'll be a factor. They want to get him going, but how healthy is he really? That environment is very tough. You got, like I always tell you, Mike, you got 90,000 terrible towels in there. You got Blake Bortles at the quarterback. It can get ugly early in this one. But one thing about Jacksonville, they do come in there with no expectations, and that defense does travel.
It does. Scott, they allowed 170 yards passing per game. It's the best in the league, and it compares favorably to some of the other historically great defenses like the 2000 Ravens, the 2014 Seahawks. It's actually a better number than any of those defenses.
Yeah, but realistically, sorry, go ahead.
No, that's okay. So, yeah
realistically, I've heard this kind of like talk before, but this defense hasn't won anything. You know, you're not going to put them in.
Scott.
But they haven't won anything yet. You can't say they're one of the great all-time defenses.
They had a great all-time season, but regular season.
You can't mention them in a breath with the 2000. I am, but you can't say they're a great all-time defense when they've won one playoff game. They're not in the league with the Seahawks and
Scott,
the Bears.
The numbers don't lie.
They're regular season numbers. You're not a great all-time defense right until you win deep into the playoffs. That's my point.
Yeah, but would you have been doubting the 2000 Ravens?
They had a nice, very excellent regular season performance, but to call them a great all-time defense, they haven't won anything yet.
Would you have been doubting those 2000 Ravens, though, like in the AFC Championship game or as they were
No, I was not back then. No, I certainly was not.
And, well, I guess to that point, you know, say the Jags pull it off today – or tomorrow.
I don't think they are gonna. You know, and Corey just said, you know, they have no expectations. Yes, there are expectations. There are people predicting that they're gonna win the AFC, but I guess they haven't watched Blake Bortles play. You know, what's the win speed gonna be today? Look, the Jaguars, like before last week, they hadn't won a playoff game since 2008. Mike Tomlin is one of three head coaches in the 2017 playoff field with a Super Bowl win. You're talking more playoff experience here. You're talking a better all-around team in Pittsburgh. Blake Bortles, Tony Romo can make all the excuses for him he wants about the win. That's the big weakness right there, and that's why Jacksonville is not going to advance. This defense can eventually be one of the greats, but until if the defense can carry them past Pittsburgh and then New England, well, then I'll shut up.
Yeah. So a couple more stats here. They're second in the league in sacks, second in the league in points allowed, second in the league in yardage allowed. They're second in the league in turnovers. They forced 33 turnovers. They are first in the league in allowing the least first downs, as well as lowest in passing yards, which we mentioned, lowest in net yards per pass attempt, the lowest average time per drive, plays per drive, yards per drive, and points per drive. So they... It's a clean sweep across a lot of different categories. So, Corey, it's not going to be 30-9. He's not going to throw five picks again or two pick sixes. But how do the Steelers attack this? Is it just the Le'Veon Bell show, like you were saying?
Le'Veon Bell show. Get Le'Veon Bell involved. Get Le'Veon Bell involved. Keep him involved. You know, don't do the Andy Reid thing where you go away from your best player. A heavy dose of your Le'Veon Bell. Try to keep it out the air as much as possible because that's where they're really strong at. But I think Ben will still be able to make some plays and play action. So I do like the Pittsburgh Steelers offense to pull this one out. They're not going to run the score up on this team, but I think they have enough to get the victory at home.
Yeah, I think to Corey's point, you know, what they do is it's high percentage. It's running the ball, little play action, throwing to the tight ends, throwing to the running backs, take what the defense gives you. I think that's what the game plan is going to be. For Jacksonville, it's going to be trying to lend to Leonard Fournette, but I think the Steelers do what Buffalo did last week. They sell out against the run and try to make Bortles beat them. And, you know, this game could be 13-0 and insurmountable for Jacksonville at some point.
Yeah, I mean, how could you not? The Steelers did pick off 16 passes this year, so that was top 10.
They might pick off that many today.
Yeah. look, he was so bad last week. I can't. You always try to look at the other side, and how could they win it? It would have to be a similarly dominating performance on defense for them to win it, because I just don't know how Bortles can get it done. I think the only way you can see them doing it is them controlling the ball. Even if the Steelers sell out, the Jaguars somehow win up front, and Fournette's able to rip off 100 yards tomorrow.
Look, Jacksonville had a great regular season defensively, and that's what they're supposed to do against a team like Buffalo, because it's a good defense and it's a bad offense. So this is a real test today. If they can hold down tomorrow, if they can hold down this Steelers team in advance, you know, then you're talking about putting them in the lexicon of greats. But you know, they just can't overcome the quarterback situation yet.
They are 7-point underdogs in Pittsburgh, Corey. The total is 41.5. So I'm actually going to start it off with you on this prediction. What do you think?
Give me the Pittsburgh Steelers. It's somewhere, well, not somewhere in the range. Give me the Pittsburgh Steelers 19-7.
I kind of like the field goal call. I could, because the Jags are able to clamp down, I do think that you can see Boswell out there a lot. So 19-7.
If I'm Pittsburgh, I'm just trying to get the next. Something like that. If I'm Pittsburgh, yeah, probably a defensive touchdown also. If I'm Pittsburgh, I'm trying to get to the marquee matchup next weekend.
Yeah. Yeah, they can't take this lightly, though. I do think the defense is dangerous enough that they can win a playoff game. So, Scott, I'll go to you for the score of this game. What do you think?
Pittsburgh 22, Jacksonville 13. Maybe a safety for the Steelers.
I like it. I mean, they do have the most sacks in the league, so you could see something like that happening. I have the Steelers 23-10, so right around the same range as Scott.
Bortles intentional grounding in the end zone.
There you go. That would be a great outcome for them in that situation, actually, if he just grounded it in the end zone, because he could get killed and give him a touchdown at the same time. So I have the Steelers 23-10. So we all are taking the under there. We all take the under.
Yeah, looking for a low scoring game. I don't think he's going to ground the ball in the end zone, though. No, but
would that shock you? Come on,
Tom Brady took a safety in the Super Bowl for that. He got an intentional ground in the end zone. Blake Bortles could certainly do it.
But to predict that is can only come from the mind of Scott Engel.
Watch it happen.
Let's get Scott some props on that. Get him a prop bet on something like that. It might have a good payoff. So we'll come back. We'll talk Saints Vikings. What I think is probably the most interesting game of the weekend, actually, Saints Vikings. So we'll come back. We'll talk about that. Drew Brees traveling to go up against Case Keenum up in Minnesota. It's Mike, Scott, and Corey on the Roto Experts. We'll be back.
If you're playing daily fantasy basketball on DraftKings or FanDuel this NBA season, you need to sign up for Daily Roto. Built by a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. Better yet, you can save 10% off using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium to learn more about their product.
Jam. Never heard of anybody. This is like my collegiate sweet spot right here.
Yeah. Really?
Pearl Jam. A long time ago. But it was my sweet spot. I can't deny it. I guess it could
Widely regarded as the biggest band of the 1990s. First ballot Hall of Fame band.
Yeah. I'd sign off on that one. There's some others that had some large influences, but, you know, they're still together, too. That's an amazing thing about Pearl Jam. That go ahead. It's Corey.
What was a Mike Blewett Friday night like back in the 90s rocking out to Pearl Jam?
So what's funny is I grew up here, and I was in the New York area, and I was more of a hip-hop fan. So I actually listened to tons of hip-hop in high school and college and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, influences take you a different way, and a lot of people were, where I went to school, BC, were listening to that kind of music, and I kind of took to it. I'm a sort of a person that listens to all different kinds of music, but, you know, I kind of ran with it, and I love Pearl Jam to this day. So what was it, Friday night looking like? A lot of bar time, Corey. A lot of bar time.
Yeah, I could see Mike Blewett in the bars, you know, wearing a suit, looking better than the other guys.
Yeah, right.
Stuff like that, you know. Telling the DJ to play a little Pearl Jam and walking up to the ladies and saying, "Hey, Jeremy is calling. How are you doing later?"
I got made fun of ruthlessly by my friends for wearing a starter jacket in Boston. So I was baseball cap,
why?
Starter jacket. Because it wasn't like there weren't a lot of people where I went to school that were wearing that kind of stuff. They're just
wearing. Yeah, that's, you know, because they're fashion savants up in Boston. That's why.
They were wearing Jim Crew.
That's not what we wear on Dot Avenue.
they were wearing J. Crew, and I was wearing a starter jacket. So
yeah, there you go.
That's how it was. But, yeah, I still get made fun of
it. I can't see you wearing a starter jacket nowadays, though. I just can't picture it.
No, I just wouldn't. I mean,
I was wearing a starter jacket yesterday. They re-released them a few years ago.
Yeah, I mean, I retired him at some point.
Scott rocking it.
They brought him back.
I know.
Yeah, I know got the Met joint. Scott got the Met joint. It's a 86 on the back.
A buddy of mine made fun of me ruthlessly for wearing him, bought a Tampa Bay Bucks one because he's a huge Bucks fan. So
cool.
He makes fun of the Steelers starter jacket that I wore 20 years ago.
It says 96 on the back.
Yeah.
Classic edition.
Yeah.
So, in any event, we made our Steelers predictions. Again, you can find all of these polls online. We're asking you, who do you think is going to win and who do you think is going to cover? We infuse the point spread in there just to have a little bit of fun with it. And I'll update those polls in the next segment. But we're going to talk a little bit of Saints-Vikings. Because that is the game that's going to happen. That's the primetime game tomorrow. I don't even know if you can call it primetime. I guess you would, right? 4:40 p.m. Eastern. That's really the primetime game.
That's the game in the big spot. Right quick, guys. If I'm not mistaken, next weekend, the NFC Championship will be the 6 o'clock game, while the AFC Championship will be the 3:30 game, meaning the game we all want to see, the rematch of the best game of the year, more than likely, would be the first game on Championship Sunday, not the primetime game.
Is that already been decided? I'll defer to you on that.
I believe the way it works is they swap each year, and last year the NFC Championship game was the early game.
Yeah, I know. That's put some of the teams in a tough spot, too, with weather and it being, you know, colder and darker in certain games. But in any event, yeah, hopefully the New England-Pittsburgh rematch happens. I'm a huge Steelers fan, and I really want them to win. But God help me if they lose to the Pats again. Like, just God help me. If that's going to happen, I'd just rather them lose tomorrow.
Corey can liken that one to the Knicks used to. You lose to the Bulls all the time.
I'm a Knicks fan, too. I remember those brutal.
I know, I've heard Corey talk about it painfully.
Yeah. No, it those hurt. I was a Knicks fan in the 90s. So, yeah, I remember those very well.
And you still are. Now, don't try to play it.
I don't know what you're talking about.
That's
my Golden State, nonsense. My Golden State Warriors, Scott. They're talking about the NFL playoffs.
You've been
Scott.
A Golden State Warrior for 3 minutes.
Yeah, that hat has not even broken in yet. That Warriors. So we'll talk. Yeah, let's go. So Saints Vikings. This game is tomorrow, 4:40. It is on Fox, and it is a 46.5 total. Yeah, it is the second highest total. New England and Tennessee is higher than that. So 46.5 total. And it is the dreaded 5-point spread. Minnesota currently favored by 5. It opened at 3.5, so the money has shifted towards Minnesota with the Saints being this road underdog. I am not totally convinced that the Vikings can pull this off. In fact, when we do our predictions later, you probably hear me say the Saints are going to take this one. So the only injury of note that I see is Brandon Coleman is out with a neck injury. I don't think there's anything beyond that that we need to be concerned about. But, Corey, I'll throw it to you first. Give me a fantasy star and maybe how you see this game playing out.
I think the fantasy star in this contest right here can be a guy. I think, really, I'll be honest with you, on the Saints side of it, I think you take the guy with the football in his hand. I think Drew Brees would be the fantasy star. On the side of the football for the Minnesota Vikings, I think a fantasy star in this one could be Kyle Rudolph. If he can get out, he's feeling pretty healthy now. If he's able to get out there, I think he can have a big game going up against that New Orleans Saints defense. But I like those are two players I like as fantasy stars. But as far as the game goes, it's going to be interesting how this one plays out. The Saints go on the road to a tough spot. But that Minnesota Viking team, that defense is great. But somebody's going to have to make a play. And it's time to see what Case Keenum has.
The Vikings have a shutdown defense, but the Saints have a very good defense. Usually defense will win ball games in the playoffs, but I think the Saints have a good enough defense and a better balance on offense here to pull this out. I just don't think Case Keenum can deliver in the playoffs. I'm not going to believe it until I see it. Plus, it's just Latavius Murray and Jerick McKinnon at running back. I believe the Saints have too much offense balance. They have more playoff experience. I like the Saints better. I do like the Kyle Rudolph call. I think it's going to be hard to predict really who is a fantasy star of this game, but I'm probably going to say Adam Thielen.
So we did our NFL playoff challenge. Jake Seeley at All In Kid on Twitter and Accuracy Ranker and all that good stuff. He sent out an invite. I don't know if you guys joined in that one, but I picked a lot of Saints. I'm kind of expecting a Saints run to the Super Bowl here, or that's what I'm predicting. And so I'm with you on Brees potentially being a star here. Scott is right. The Vikings have a shutdown defense, but you know what? So many weapons here for them to mix it up, just like them being able to get it done. I'm not suggesting they're going to put up 30 points, but I think Keenum, to Scott's point, is not going to be able to keep pace with Brees here. I don't see it being terribly low scoring, despite the fact that the Vikings in their last three games have only allowed 17 points total. That's the best in the league. So not only did they play well over the course of the season, but in their last three games, they only let up 17 points, including one shutout in there. So, you know, Michael Thomas against these corners and these safeties is an interesting matchup. Obviously, Kamara and Ingram. I just think there's a little bit too many weapons here, and I don't think Keenum's going to be able to keep pace. Those are my thoughts. Scott, I don't know if you have anything different.
I think it comes down to defense. And it'll be easier to make plays against Case Keenum than Drew Brees. I don't think it's going to be explosive necessarily for New Orleans, but I just think they, you know, when you need a quarterback to make a play, even though Minnesota is tough, I'm going to put it on Brees. It's just like I see Case Keenum potentially melting in this atmosphere.
You've been down on Case Keenum all year, Scott, but Case Keenum
I give him credit for a good regular season, and he certainly exceeded expectations. I give him credit for that. But having watched him all year long, it's like 2 minutes left in the game, and you need a defining drive. I just can't see him doing it in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, dude is having like an MVP-type season, though, Case Keenum is. So
he's been above expectations, but if you look at him on a week-to-week basis, I think MVP is stretching it.
How is MVP stretching this?
The numbers haven't been all overwhelmingly impressive. He's done a nice job of piloting the team.
If you were to do this as a seeding system, the NFL playoffs, the Vikings would have been the one seed.
What are you talking about?
The Vikings are the best. 1-12, like 1-12 of the playoff teams, he would put the Vikings first.
Yeah.
The Saints have more balance. I like the Saints better.
No, I like the Saints in this game, too, but I'm saying let's not. Listen, I think Drew Brees makes the plays that Case Keenum will not make, but I don't want to write Keenum off.
That's what I'm saying.
A guy who's going to melt because he hasn't melted at all this season. He's having an MVP season.
I wouldn't say he's an MVP. Look at the numbers. You can't. I don't think you put him in that conversation.
67% completion percentage, 3,500 yards, 22 touchdowns, 7 picks. It's really adequate, but
it's
does
okay.
not stack up.
It
does not stack up against some of the other MVP numbers.
Yeah.
Do you think, I said this on the Sunday show last week, do you think there's a lot of people that know that Drew Brees broke the completion percentage record this year? I just feel like it's totally gone under the radar. He broke Sam Bradford's record from a year ago, 72% on the year. People haven't talked about it as much because he doesn't have 50 touchdowns or 5,500 yards or something like that. But Brees was very good, despite the fact that they have shifted towards balance, as Scott has said. So let's get these predictions right now. Corey, we'll go to you first on Saints-Vikes.
I think we have a good one. I think we'll have a good one tomorrow for the primetime spot. I give me the New Orleans Saints 21, the Minnesota Vikings 20. Not a classic like the last time they met in the playoffs, but a very good game.
Scotty?
Originally, I was going to say 27-24, but I can't see the Saints putting up 27 points against this defense. So I'm going to say Saints 24, Vikings 20.
Saints 24, Vikings 20. You guys both have it right underneath the number. And I'll go with Saints 23, Vikings 14. We'll recap the predictions and the polls after this as we close out hour number two of the Roto Actions. We'll be right back.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things. Just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
Closing out hour number two. People coming at you on Twitter, Scotty, about the Saints. People think you're a Saints fan all of a sudden.
That's new to me.
Yeah. Yeah. Listen to the show. I can appreciate that he's a fired up Vikings fan, but you know, we're not. Nobody said there was going to be a blowout. I'm looking at the predictions right here. I got a 9-point loss. I'm the one that thinks this is going to be a blowout in that regard. Corey called it a 1-point game. He called it a 4-point game. I think it's going to come down to that. I'm
Minnesota
a little worried
Vikings.
About, go ahead.
They've had a good season, but they have. I mean, Case Keenum is in a tough spot, trying to will his team into the NFC Championship game. I get it, they're home and they have that great defense, but Drew Brees has done this before, so I think Brees pulled this one out. But the Minnesota Vikings have had a very successful season.
Yeah, I don't think if they lost this game, would you still call it a success?
Yeah, I would.
Yeah, Corey, you would.
Oh, sorry.
No, it's all right. Either way. Scott, would you call it a success even if they lose this game?
For the Vikings?
Yeah.
No, Scott, the Raiders. What you with? Of course, the Vikings.
Yeah, well, probably not the Cowboys because they're not usually there. But I would say.
Nice pivot right there.
I would say probably. They're probably not going to look at it as a success. And it's going to be another reason to show that quarterback is kind of watered down in the NFL.
So a couple of stats that I didn't mention on this game. Saints 4.7 yards per carry. I think that's the best in the league. They have 23 rushing touchdowns. When they played earlier this year, they had only 61 yards on 20 carries. But that was early in the season. Kamara wasn't as big a part of the offense as he is now. So I do think that the Saints can turn it around from what they did earlier this season against the Vikes. Now, another interesting thing, too, and Corey, you're the resident Cowboys fan, is the Mike Zimmer-Sean Payton relationship. These guys have known each other a really long time. They apparently, I was listening to Darren Woodson tell a story, saying they used to go at it with Sean Payton trying to dial up plays and Zimmer trying to stop him in practice.
Yeah, no, those were some days when they were both on Bill Parcells' coaching staff, so these two are familiar with each other, so that is an interesting angle right there. You guys see about Keith Jackson?
Which Keith Jackson?
The college football announcer.
What happened?
He passed away.
Oh, man. Well, he had a really good run. I grew up on Keith Jackson, listening to him call college football. And I would say, honestly, he's as big an influence as me liking that sport than anybody else. I used to love.
I was going
to
say the same thing.
Watching him
say the same thing.
Call those games.
He's synonymous really with the sport.
Yeah, I really did grow up on him. Like, I'm old enough that I can remember guys like him and Kurt Gowdy and other guys that really influenced me being into those sports, or at least I have them uniquely attached to that sport. Keith Jackson was that guy. For me.
Well, you think of Woe Nelly and the great bowl games Keith Jackson has done over the years. He was there for, some of the big moments in the history of college football. He was the soundtrack to it. So, like you said, he definitely did have a great run.
The reason I said which is because I thought maybe you're talking about the former tight end, the former Eagles tight end. I thought maybe something happened there. But in any
No. Well, I'm not. I think he's a coach now somewhere.
Is he?
That Keith Jackson, yeah.
Well, to Keith Jackson, the announcer, may he rest in peace. He had a great run, and it's a sad to see him go. Just weeks after Dick Enberg, another announcing icon passed away. So that's a tough one. But going back to the Saints-Vikings, I mean, they did play in week one, but I think you throw it out just like you throw out the Jags-Steelers thing. It just doesn't even matter. It was 4 months ago. Literally, it was September 11th that they played. We're now January 13th. 4 months ago doesn't mean much. 29-19, the Vikings took that one down. So we're not Saints
fans. Scott, what are you doing, Scott? What are you writing an article on Overwatch, Scott? What the hell are you doing,
Scott? He's doing the Keith Jackson obituary.
making fun of something that he has no idea about.
Come back in hour number three, 2 hours
more
down,
people watch Overwatch and follow you on Twitter.
Whatever. Follow.
We'll be back.
Nothing to follow.